Well, good morning. This is Mother's Day. I want to say happy Mother's Day to each one of you mothers. I want you to know that mothering is a very high calling. And today we'd like to talk a little bit about mothers. I've entitled my message, The Three C's of Motherhood. And as I was thinking about mothers, and this is not my message here, but I was thinking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what she faced. And as a young girl, how she had this angelic experience where the angel came to her and told her what he's got in store for her. And he told her she's highly favored. And then he told her she was going to have a baby while she was still a virgin. What's she going to do about this? How's she going to tell her boyfriend? This could be reason for death. But Mary was willing to go ahead. She watched Jesus grow up into manhood. And as I think about that, all the questions Mary must have had, and I think about her in Cana at this wedding where Jesus did his first miracle, and Mary asked him to turn the water or do whatever he needs to make so they have wine. And Mary turned around and told those that were working there to do whatever he tells you to do. Jesus had, can we say, learned submission, honor, and Mary had confidence in her son. And then I have to think about a little bit later on, where Mary was at the foot of the cross and her son was hanging there for her. The blood that was shed was also for her. And how he died, and the pain that Mary must have felt. But he didn't stay dead. He went to the tomb, but that wasn't the end. And how Mary met him after he arose, what kind of a joy that must have been. And then to see him go back to his father, knowing that he's coming back to take her home. What a beautiful story. Just blessed my heart as I was thinking about that. And we think about the deep joy, the deep pain that mothers face. There was a lady named Betty White who said this. She said, "It's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it." I thought that was pretty good. Being a mother is a very difficult job, very difficult task. This morning we'd like to look at a young girl, a young lady, that was a mother, not to her own child, but to another child. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 11. We'd like to look at a lady by the name of Jehosheba. And I have a hard time remembering how to pronounce her name, but we're going to read about Jehosheba here in 2 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to read through the whole chapter of 2 Kings 11 and then just a tiny bit in chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, I'm reading out of the King James. I'd like for you to follow along if you can. And to give you just a little bit of background here, Jehosheba was the daughter of Judah's king Jehoram. Some also called him Joram in the Bible. He was not a good king. So she did not have a very good upbringing. That meant that her father's wife, Athaliah, was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Again, we see a picture that's not so good. She was constantly exposed and involved in the idolatry of both the northern and the southern kingdoms. She was a half-brother to the evil king Ahaziah. From a family devoted to evil and idolatry, Jehosheba stands out as a heroic daughter of an evil father. She was married. Her husband's name was Jehoiada. And he was let me just put it this way. This is the only instance of an Israeli princess marrying a high priest. And like I said, she lived in some dark days in the southern kingdom's history. It was an extreme time of cruelty, gross immorality, and profane temple worship, the time that she lived in. She is the one credited with preserving the royal seed from extinction. And we're going to read about that here in a little bit. So let's go to chapter 11 and let's read. It says, "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from the king's sons which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And he commanded, saying," we're just going to skip through here, this next section, he's commanding them where to be, what parts to take, where they were to be at with their weapons. Now let's go on down to verse 12, and it says, "And he brought forth the king's son, and put a crown upon him, and gave him the testimony, and they made him king, and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, take her outside, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there she was slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and brake down its altars and its images, those they broke in pieces thoroughly, and slew Mattan the priest of Baal before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds, and the captains, and the guard, and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. And they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash, or Joash, when he began to reign. In the seventh year of Jehu, Joash began to reign. And 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him." We're going to stop reading at that point. So here we have Athaliah. She sees that her son Ahaziah was killed. And she decides, this is a good opportunity for me to become king, to become ruler. And so she comes up with a plan. It says, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. That means that she destroyed everyone who would be heir to the throne. And those, I believe, would have been her grandchildren. Jehosheba saw what was happening. And we're going to back up a little bit. There's a verse in 2 Samuel 7, verse 16, there's a verse we need to remember before all of this story takes place. There was a promise made, and this promise said this, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. Before thee, thy throne shall be established forever." Here there was a promise made that David's line would never die out, that it would always be there. It was the lineage of Christ. So what would have happened here if all the seed royal would have been killed? There would have been no lineage for Christ to come through as the promise was made. So God used Jehoshaphat to protect that seed, to keep that line alive. So here we have Jehoshaphat. She steps in to do something very courageous. I have three C's this morning that I'm looking at, as was in the title. And the first C, the word courage. I want us to think about the word courage. Jehoshaphat was a woman of courage. What is courage? Courage is the ability to do something that frightens oneself. Maybe you can think about a time where you really, really needed courage to do something. It's strength in the face of grief and pain. Jehoshaphat had to do something that was very, very dangerous. Would she have been found out, she would have probably died for what she did. But she was willing to step in with courage and to rescue this child. I had to think about this in our country today. Maybe it would look a little different to us when it comes to abortions and removing children in that manner, if we realize the value of a child. Jehoshaphat here realized the value of this child. So she went in and she stole this child away. And they hid this child away. And I had to kind of smile when I read here. It says here in verse 3, "And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. Athaliah was not a godly lady. And I'm guessing the house of the Lord was a place that she was not about to go to. So they had a very good hiding place for this child. So Jehoshaphat would have been an aunt to Joash. And the dangerous thing that she did was a very, very courageous thing. True courage is doing what is right when all else seems wrong. Mothers, I'm going to talk to you a bit this morning. And when I talk about mothers this morning, I'm going to include all of us, fathers also, because a lot of the things I'm going to talk about this morning connect to all of us. Mothers, it takes courage to spend time with your children. And this is specifically for mothers. When our society tells you that you need to get a babysitter so you can pursue your dream or your career, mothers this morning, your children are very precious. Your being a mother is a very high calling. There are some of those things that you need to push to the side to be a mother, to be a God-fearing mother. One of the things that we're being taught in society, and this is not just about mothers, but this is about all of us, is that we are enough. Can I tell you this morning that we are not enough? But with Christ in us, He is enough. And when He's within us, then we can succeed. None of us are enough. That's something I think we need to be thinking about. Mothers, every morning when you climb out of bed, you're faced with challenges, big challenges. And so many times you might feel inadequate in what you have to do. One of the reasons we feel inadequate, and can I say this because of the times that we're in, because of technology. But one of the reasons we feel inadequate is because we look at Facebook and we see all the other mothers that everything is just perfect. But can I tell you this morning that anything that's on social media is probably doctored up? I shouldn't say anything, but a lot of the stuff. The mothers that seem to have it all perfect, it's not all perfect. They have struggles too. So think about the fact this morning, as you face different issues in life. No, life isn't perfect. But with God at the helm, it's doable. And we can succeed. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," I'm going to say therefore, our dear sisters, mothers, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Be courageous, mothers, knowing that what you're doing is honoring God. It's not in vain. You're serving your King, and He sees your struggles. Then there's those times, mothers, when it just seems like your courage fades and things are difficult. And you feel like just throwing in the towel. Can I tell you, mothers, when the day comes when you feel like this, put that day behind you and begin fresh the next morning. We all fail. We all have struggles. Winston Churchill says this. He says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Jehosheba acted out of courage, doing what was right. I don't know if she thought about what all she could face, but she did what was right. Maybe one of the reasons that we forget what courage is all about is because we've forgotten truth. You see, truth and courage go hand in hand. We know truth, so we move forward with courage. So moms, be courageous. The second C that I'd like to look at this morning is counselor. Mothers, you are a counselor to your children. Who's a counselor? What's a counselor? It's a person who gives guidance through life. It says there in 12:2, 2 Kings 12:2, it says, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada, which was a husband, the priest, instructed him." Let me read that again. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada, the priest, instructed him. As long as Joash was willing to listen, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he was successful. He listened to his counselor, Jehoiada, and I'm sure that Jehosheba was also a part of this in teaching him and giving him counsel. The opposite of this in 2 Chronicles 22, verse 3, and there it says, "He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother, which was Athaliah, was his counselor to do wickedly." Here Ahaziah walked in a wicked way because he had horrible teaching. He didn't have somebody that he could count on. But the counsel that he was given was from a sad state, I guess you would say. And he ended up in a sad state. Our children need our input. Jehosheba moved forward and she rescued her nephew. And then she and her husband became counselor to this child. And when I talk about counselor this morning, I'm talking about parenting. I'm talking about being there for our children. It's more than just a guidance giver. It's being a parent. Joash was successful because of the instructions that he received through life. I don't see Jehosheba and Jehoiada here setting their child in front of a TV and allowing the TV to be a babysitter, but they spend time with their children. It's so important that we spend time with our children. Sometimes we have to set up some strict lines of discipline. Maybe we have to make some rules. I'm probably one of those that hates rules more than most. But I also realize that there's guidelines that are good for us. There's boundaries that need to be set if they're used in a positive manner. There's times your children want to seek freedom from those boundaries. They'd like to do things on their own. And there's times to let your children learn, times to allow them to take steps. And they're going to fail. They're going to hit their head from time to time. But the freedom that I'm talking about is to get away from mom and dad. I want to do my own thing. Let me tell you a story about a kite. This story was told by Tony Evans. There's a story of a kite that loved to fly. Oh, he would go so high at times, and he just loved it. But there was a day when he thought to himself, if I could just get away from this string, I could fly so high. And he kept thinking that, and one day he got his wish. The string tore. and he was preparing himself for flight. But you know what happened? It wasn't long until he was down on the ground. That's a little bit like it is for us. The same string that seemed to be holding the kite back was the string that I actually made so he could fly. Sometimes the boundaries that we set for our children seem to be holding them back. That's what they're thinking. But the fact of the matter is that our children are learning to fly. And sometimes they need those boundaries. I'm going to give you just a couple of things to think about. One of the things I wanted to say here was, if we allow our children to be by themselves, to be left to themselves, they're going to follow the promptings of their flesh. And this includes choosing friends whose behavior and attitudes appeal to that sinful flesh. So our children need wisdom. They need guidance. Here's a few things I want you to think about. Children need direction in choosing friends. It's okay to tell your children. Find a friend that's good. And if you find a friend that you see that is not good, it's okay to tell your children that it's not good. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Psalm 119:63 says, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." Think about this. Children need to be taught respect for others. So important. Respect for older people. Respect for their peers. Respect for their teachers. Respect for other parents. So important to teach our children respect. It's important that we teach our children how to use finances, so they know how to live life. It's important to teach our children to be humble. Teach them humility. And most of all, it's important that we teach our children about God. Possibly your children are going to learn more about God in what they see in you. Something to think about. The third and final one I'd like to look at is compassion. Compassion. Why did Jehosheba do what she did? Why was she willing to step out and to rescue this child? I see compassion. I see a heart of love. This story speaks loud and clear about who she was inside. Because of her compassion, she felt empathy for Joash, and that she put his needs as more important than her own. What's empathy? Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. You see, this baby couldn't think, couldn't feel. Oh, that sounds a bit like where we're at with abortion, doesn't it? They can't think, they can't feel for themselves, and so we take over and destroy. Jehosheba didn't. She loved. And she stepped out and did what it took to protect this child. Mothers, many of you have lost sleep. You've lost comforts for the sake of feeding and caring for your children. A child that is well cared for and nourished learns to feel secure in their surroundings. How does your child feel? I want to repeat again, a child learns so much by example. Compassion is when you're willing to give it yourself for your child, your time, your comforts, your needs. For there is the opposite of compassion is indifference. Indifference is a lack of interest, concern, or sympathy. We see that today all over the place. May I ask you, would I be excited to see my child grow up to be just like me? Because they're watching. Maybe it's good for all of us to check. Who are we? Who are we following? What are my thoughts? What are my feelings, my actions when my children see me and when they don't see me? 1 Corinthians 13 has a lot to do with love and compassion. I want to look at verse 4. It says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind." So charity is willing to suffer quite a while. It says long, but it remains kind. It doesn't lose that kindness. It doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Vaunteth, not a word that we use today. But vaunteth has the idea of making a vain display of one's worth or attainments. Bragging is basically where it's at. Some of the things that we need to teach our children. He ends that chapter with verse 13. We all know the verse. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest is charity. And I think of compassion, charity and compassion. Mothers, you are shaping the children of your lives one day at a time. Mothering is an honorable work. It's a calling when you have children to care for. And I'm going to leave you with a verse. And I found this verse to be very, very true. 3 John 1:4 says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Mothers, our children are not going to walk in truth when left to themselves. You're doing a great job. I'm sure you are. I know you have difficulties. I know you face tough days in life. But put it behind you. Reach out to the next day. And allow God to guide you and to direct you. And to give you that grace and strength that you need to continue your walk. I'd like to pray this morning. Just a prayer blessing on you as mothers. May God bless you. Father, we thank you this morning for mothers. Lord, we know they have a difficult job. We know, Lord, there's days that are so good, and we know there's days that are so difficult. I pray your blessing on them. I pray for grace and strength. I pray for courage to continue their walk. I pray for compassion in their hearts for their children. And I pray, Lord, that they would be good counselors, good leaders, good teachers. Would you bless them in this? And Lord, I pray for those of us that are in the home, fathers and others involved, Lord, that we would do our best to help our mothers because they have a big task on their hands. We thank you so much, Lord, for your love to us. Would you bless us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.